Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Pastor Steve and I talked about a send-off service a few weeks ago. And obviously I was asked to preach. I have no idea what to preach on for a send-off service. I've never even been a part of a send-off service, if I'm not mistaken. So I asked myself if I should just continue preaching out of Book of Colossians, which would have been a good choice. And then I prayed about it. After a couple days, I realized I wanted to prepare something new, specific to our church. So, by way of Philippians chapter 4, I'd like us to consider faithfulness in a good church. That's the topic this Lord's Day. Faithfulness in a good church. An example that I want us to consider this Lord's Day is the Philippian church through the eyes and pen of the Apostle Paul, specifically verses 14 through 18 in Philippians chapter 4. Let us look at that text. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 14. Paul says, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for this day that you've given us to gather together as your people. To offer you thanks for our risen Savior. We thank you for your providence, how you supply all of our needs. How your compassion fails not. How your mercies are new for us each and every morning. We thank you this Lord's Day that we can come before you and give you thanks. May your word go forth and change the hearts of otherwise hell-bound sinners to your glory. May your word go forward and pierce the hearts of those who call upon your name, convicting us of our sin against you and our need for your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul here is writing to the church in Philippi. And what he's doing here in this text, Philippians chapter 4, is essentially praising the Lord for how the Lord has provided for Paul up to this point in his missionary journey. He's likely writing this letter from prison, but when you read the letter, you would never know that. When you read Philippians, you would never know that this man writing this letter is in this distressed state, this very difficult state. To the contrary, this letter seems written by a man that is joyful, that is very thankful and content for what he has in Christ. Paul's thankfulness is evident from the very beginning of the letter. He says in chapter 1, verse 5, that he is thankful for their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So he's thankful from the very beginning for this church in Philippi. When you read the entire letter, one may conclude that the Apostle Paul and this church have a tight bond, a very tight bond. I think it's safe to say we can call the church in Philippi Apostle Paul's favorite church by far. Though Paul was distant, their relationship was tight. And it was close, it was tight because of their union with the Lord Jesus Christ and their mutual desire and interest to get the gospel going to all nations. Brothers and sisters, when we read Paul's letters as a whole, we definitely have a missionary that we would run to support, the Apostle Paul. When we read of his gospel endeavors, I think as a church we would love to support such a missionary. It's evident his work for the gospel. His interests are gospel-centered. He's an excellent missionary. Yet the truth remains, the sole reason for the church to support a man is for the sake of the gospel, for the advancement of Christ's kingdom and the salvation of sinners. This is the mindset of a gospel-centered church, supporting those who love the gospel and are used by God to take that gospel to another land, whether that land is a mere hour away or whether it's 10 hours away. And this is how Paul's relationship with the Philippian church started. It started from gospel fruit. This is a church that had produced great fruit under the Apostle Paul's care. Turn with me briefly to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we read of the Philippian jailer and his conversion. The Word of God says, starting at verse 25, Acts chapter 16, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Paul saved this man's life by the grace of God. Paul's call for that man to preserve his life saved his life. But the greater outcome was shortly after. Verse 29, the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." This is the start, really, of Paul's relationship with the church in Philippi. It starts with this powerful work of God in the life of the Philippian jailer. For this, and the continued work of the gospel, both the church in Philippi and the Apostle Paul are quite thankful, to say the least. Bringing us to our first point this Lord's Day. This sermon, we have 3 points with regards to faithfulness. The first is the church in Philippi and their faithfulness in their consistent support of the gospel by way of verse 14 and 15. So I want us to first consider the mark of this church in Philippi, and specifically their faithfulness in their constant support of the gospel. That will be our first point. The second point will be the church in Philippi and their faithfulness that is shown in their giving. In their giving to the apostle. And then finally, where we'll end this Lord's Day, the faithfulness of God to His church. God's faithfulness to His church. So in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, our first point, the faithfulness that we see in this church and their constant support of the gospel. Verse 14 and 15 read, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only." Verse 14 begins with the clear indication that the Apostle Paul is indeed facing some kind of trouble or tribulation. I would submit to you that he's incarcerated, that he's in prison, writing this letter. He says to the church in Philippi that they are kind for sharing in his troubles. He is thankful that this church that he has such a deep bond and relationship with are still supporting him even in such a difficult time. That's really when the work of the gospel needs the most support, quite often, in the most difficult times, in the most difficult of circumstances. He's in prison. When I was preparing my sermon, I considered Grace Minden, my little brother's church up in Northern Nevada, and how they have a prison ministry of about 20 or 25. They have a service up in the state prison. They give them a room to have a worship service on the Lord's Day. And what they do is once those prisoners are let out, they have a church to go to. They have a home church to attend, to be accountable before. I believe Pastor Jeff does this as well, or at least did in the past. This kind of ministry tells us that the work of the gospel is often most important in the most difficult times, in the most difficult circumstances. Men behind bars, possibly serving the rest of their life in prison. Yet it's important that even this church in Philippi supported the Apostle Paul, even in such a situation. It reminds me at least, a little bit about our church. How, you know, even in the most difficult times, at least we've faced in the last 5 years with the coronavirus and having our leaders have to make very difficult decisions, that the church as a whole still stood beside them and still supported them. That's more valuable than I think most of you may ever even know, having the support of your congregation, even in the most difficult times. Well, the Apostle Paul, to know that even at a time where seemingly a lot of his friends, a lot of his co-laborers might have forgot about him, being incarcerated, might have moved on, this church stood beside him. They didn't give up on him. And that is a mark of true faithfulness to the gospel. The church in Philippi supported Paul in the work of the gospel ministry, even when it was dangerous to do so. Even when it is dangerous to do so. While the work of the Spirit of God is indeed something that produces much fruit in a land, as we see in the Colossian church, the Word of God went through the land and entire towns were converted. Though this is a beautiful thing, oftentimes to the world it is a threat. It is taken as a threat or dangerous. This was often the case in first century Rome. Paul was imprisoned. Paul was facing persecution at this time. And even the support by this church was dangerous. Yet they continued to do so. They were still willing to support this ministry. We see this even today. Just recently, a man in Canada was arrested. In Alberta, Canada, was arrested for holding his worship service over a 15% suggested number of occupancy. Now he is in jail, away from his family. We don't know for how long. Yet these times, more than ever, are the times that the church needs to step up and support the gospel work. Or as Pastor Steve mentioned, Vodi Bakum's testimony up to this point is amazing. To see what the Lord is doing through his church in supporting that man, though he doesn't have health insurance, because he's done so much for the kingdom, as did the Apostle Paul, and as has this church. I think we don't realize this enough because we're just a small church in Ontario, but this church raising up a man and now sending him out to a fellow church in our association is a great work. is a God-honoring work. It's important work that each and every one of you participated in. Another mark of this gospel-centered church in Philippi is evident in their giving as an act of worship. Notice verse 15c through 18. Verse 15 through 18 in Philippians 4. Paul says, "No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." And hear this in verse 18. "I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." The church, the faithfulness of the church at Philippi was evident when we consider their giving to the minister. Their giving to the apostle Paul. Not merely supporting his effort as an evangelist, as an apostle, but giving to all of his needs. Everything he needed. You know, it's interesting when we read the early church, starting in Acts 2, we get a different idea of what giving means when we look at it in the context of 2021. Giving is looked at almost exclusively as financial. Well, I give, I sign a check, I give money, I do those things. That's important. But in the early church, and even now, giving is much more than that. To give implies much more than that. The Philippians were known for their financial giving, that is clear. But also, they're giving up of their own things, of their own property. They gave according to what they had. That kind of giving is not really popular anymore. We think of the things that we have and we want to hoard them. We don't want to give them to anybody. But the early church freely gave up their things for the sake of, out of loving their brother, for the sake of their brother. They gave up their time. This church in Philippi spent time and time again praying and communicating with the Apostle Paul. One, this letter. Two, through Epaphroditus in verse 18. But time. The Philippian church gave much of their time to the work of the gospel through Paul. May we be mindful of the benefits of giving our own time, of even being here and supporting our ministers. See, one of many things about our church is I'm thankful for all the time that they have given me personally and my family. And I think the Espinosas would agree as well. All the time and investment in building relationships, building friendships. Those show a specific faithfulness of the church. And I think many of you here would say the same thing about our church here in Ontario. And therefore, we can be thankful for what we have here, in the same way Paul is thankful for the brothers and sisters in Philippi. They were a church that gave much. Regarding their giving, it wasn't only consistent, which is important, but it was also generous. The Philippians gave consistently, but they also gave generously. And they also knew the purpose behind their giving. They knew exactly why they were giving what they had. When we think of the consistency in their giving, we notice already from the text that they supported the Apostle Paul from the very beginning. From the very beginning. Out of the churches that the Apostle came into contact with, the Philippians stood out because they supported his mission from the very start and didn't cease to show their support. That's consistency. From starting from the very beginning and not giving up on the apostle. Not second-guessing the work of the Lord. This consistency shown by the church in Philippi tells us a few things about them. One, that they were surely a true church. These were brothers and sisters in Christ. Giving is an act of worship, as we know. And Paul's message, his gospel message, was a clear one, as we also know. Therefore, we may conclude that these brothers and sisters in Philippi were truly saved. They knew the Lord. Their consistency in giving shows us their maturity. You know, when doing my studies through Colossians, you can really see that the Colossian church is a very new church, and they're very immature in a lot of ways. When you actually are studying through the commentaries and reading the Greek, you could see that the church is new. It's a new church. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that was their circumstance. But the church in Philippi seemed like they had a specific maturity about them in relation to the other churches. And I think we can find a little bit about that out when we consider their consistency and their support. They were mature Christians. They knew how to spend their money and delegate and manage their money. The Philippians show themselves to be mature in their ability and discipline to support the apostle in his entire ministry. And their consistency in giving shows us that the church in Philippi had a means to support the apostle. They were able to do so with what they had. And the reality is, even today, some churches, many churches, are providentially unable to support their own ministry. They're unable to support their pastor full time. That's just very unfortunate. And what's even more unfortunate is you kind of see it in the best of churches, in the confessional churches, the smaller churches. And that's fine. But if churches have the means to support the gospel work, they must do so. It should just be a part of our DNA. Which again makes me consider our own church here in Ontario. One thing I'm going to miss about doing prayer meetings is seeing our prayer lists and all the missionaries that we support and all of the emails that we get, that I get from Pastor Steve, and get to read through the work of like Brett Shaw or someone like that our local church supports. That's important. And it shows us, it's a reminder to us as a church that the leadership, that the church as a whole is being responsible and mature and consistent in their giving as an act of worship. The church in Philippi were also generous givers. They were generous givers. Verse 18, Paul says he received full payment and more. He was satisfied by the giving of the local church. He was satisfied by the gifts that he got from Philippi. And more. Which again, you think of local missionaries today and they struggle. A lot of them struggle finding financial need. Finding the funding that they need. Finding the resources that they need. Dealing with the governments that they're trying to plant the church in. Yet Paul didn't lack. He says, "You have given me everything I need and more." It's almost unusual to think of the apostles, the amount of support the apostle had. And again, he writes this church as the only church that has been with him from the very beginning. It shows us about the generosity of the Philippian church. When we see the example laid out in Acts chapter 2, the apostolic example in Acts 2, specifically verses 45 and 46. Verse 45 tells us in Acts chapter 2 that they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Well, you can imagine the Apostle Paul had maybe a few more needs being a missionary. But notice verse 46 in Acts 2. It says that they did this, they gave up everything they had with generous hearts. That's why Paul can call the Philippian church generous. That's why he could say that we could see from the reading of the text that they gave generously, because that's where their heart was to the work of the gospel. Back to Philippians 4, verse 18 tells us that the apostle had everything he needed. He didn't lack. The one church in Philippi, which started with a jailer and his family being converted, Lydia and others, the once small church now is able to sustain this man throughout his entire ministry. He didn't lack, he didn't need a thing because of the Philippian church. Reminds me of myself being here at Sovereign Grace. You know, Pastor Steve mentioned me leaving my job 3 years ago, well, 2 years ago, full-time that was, and then going to part-time, and then eventually leaving altogether last year, last February. The big reason, I think, behind that has been because I know the Lord has provided through this church, just like he's provided for my wife and I at Centinela, and trusting the Lord is going to provide, and trusting that all things come from him, allows us to relinquish that authority that we want to have and those comforts that we want to have for the sake of the gospel. I really do think that. And most missionaries, like I mentioned, Brett and Shelley, you know, they went to multiple churches asking the same thing, asking for support from multiple churches, and that's okay. But Paul got all of his support from the one church that he was so close to. It really reminds me a lot of myself and how everything in my ministry, everything serious that is. I mean, prior to coming to Sovereign Grace, I did some Bible studies and stuff like that. But like the real serious stuff has been through this church and through the support of this church. And I think it's extremely important that we as a church know how important that support is to our ministers. Finally, and the last point is giving for and to Christ. The last point in point two, giving for and to Christ. This church knew that it wasn't something cool about Paul. It wasn't something in and of Paul's self that caused the Philippian church to have this bond with him. It was for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Christ. As I already mentioned, the church in Philippi and their bond that they had with the Apostle Paul had everything to do with their union in Christ. They knew that they were giving not just to a good cause. They knew, well, someone's going to make use out of this money that I'm going to give, like giving it to maybe the Salvation Army or something like that. No, the Philippian church knew that my goods, my money, my everything given to this missionary will result in the conversion of sinners. God will use this means. And that's exactly what he did. Our third and final point, verses 19 and 20. God's faithfulness to his church. Our text ends this Lord's Day by saying, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." God sufficiently gives this church everything they need in Christ. That's really what Paul is driving home here. Christ is sufficient, Philippian church. And you have shown me this. He first gives his riches and glory, his everything to the church by sending his only begotten Son. First and foremost, for Paul to say, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus," points us to our Savior. Points us to the very beginning, to the covenant of redemption, where we understand Christ taking the form of flesh in the person of Christ. This is where God's sufficient grace is made known, is made evident to each and every one of us. Christ, being very God and man, lives a holy and righteous life, a life that you and I need to live, that God requires of every image bearer of God. His standard, according to his law, is perfection. And none of us can live up to this perfect standard. But Christ did, his only begotten Son. He shows the sufficiency of his grace to the church, first and foremost, by sending Christ to die for the church. His grace is sufficient. The apostle can end this piece here by saying his grace is sufficient because he understands the sufficiency of Christ in and of himself. He also understands that Christ's ordinances for the church are sufficient. What he leaves the church with is sufficient. The means of grace, the fellowship meal, baptism, the word of God going forth each and every Lord's Day is a constant reminder to us. It's a constant reminder of the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi that God's grace is sufficient, that He is always faithful to His church. The fellowship of the saints. God reminds us that all of our needs are supplied in Christ when we are around the people of Christ. When we are fellowshipping with God's people, we are reminded that God even supplies the most minute needs for us. And He does this all, verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. A good church is faithful for one purpose alone. That is, that Christ may receive the glory. So I've been thankful to be a part of a faithful church, as has my wife and the Espinozas. And we pray that you continue to glorify Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only sacrifice for sinners, the one who has canceled our sin debt on the cross. We thank you so much for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.